The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, March 2018 edition, and this is the last of the edition that I want to read. We're going to cover articles such as The New Rule of Law. Then we're going to dive into Love and Life section, such as Breakthrough, Grab Your Good Life, and then on, continuing on with the Love and Life with some of the food edition of it. So let's go ahead and get started. When Nikichi Tafa strides into the courtroom or boardroom, the petite lawyer with flowing locks and a regal bearing views herself as a change agent. The human rights attorney is an advocacy director for criminal justice with the Open Society Foundations, a global think tank that funds progressive causes. Tafa is also the governor of the Justice Roundtable, a broad coalition of advocates who meet regularly in the nation's capital to tackle sentencing reform and racial justice issues. I'm using the law in the tradition of great women like Harriet Tubman, end quote, says Tafa, age 63, a Washington, D.C. native who earned her J.D. from George Washington University. I've walked the halls of Congress and met with Obama officials at the White House. I view myself as a freedom fighter. She's not the only one using the rule of law to affect change and reform systematic inequities, be it on Capitol Hill, where at least six African-American women in Congress are lawyers, or within civil rights organizations nationwide. Black women are harnessing their power in the courts and beyond. They're fighting to dismantle racism, sexism, and poverty, pushing to secure voting rights and battling LGBTQ bias. They're championing education reform, equal pay, reproductive justice issues, and more. Meet six other women like Tafa who are proud to use their legal knowledge for community uplift. Cheryl Lynn Eiffel. She is the president and director, counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. The issue for her is civil rights. Don't mess with Cheryl Lynn Eiffel. Whether litigating cases before the Supreme Court or appearing on TV newscasts to break down police brutality and the law, the head of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund is formidable. Quote, I believe in one's ability to navigate American society as a full, equal, and dignified citizen of this country, says Eiffel, age 55, who earned her J.D. from New York University's law school. I've wanted to be a civil rights lawyer since I was a little girl. The Queens, New York native, was born to immigrant parents and is the youngest of 10 siblings. She's the second woman to helm LDF, founded by the NAACP in 1940 under the leadership of Thurgood Marshall. The organization achieved legal victories to desegregate schools and in other landmark cases. Eiffel, who began her career with the American Civil Liberties Union, also known as ACLU, has been involved in LDF wins at the highest courts in the land, including Buck versus Davis, where the Supreme Court condemned the injection of racial bias into capital sentencing. Her team has also successfully challenged Texas Bill SB 14, a strict photo ID law that critics contend was designed to disenfranchise people of color at the polls. The University of Maryland Law School professor has led LDF attorneys in crafting key friend of the court briefs that support affirmative action and LGBTQ rights and ending money bail systems in communities of color. Amid the angst around the killing of unarmed African Americans by police, Eiffel helped launch LDF's policing reform campaign. which is a nationwide effort to address the law enforcement issues. Married with three daughters, the advocate and author of On the Courthouse Lawn, Confronting the Legacy of Lynching in the 21st Century, lives her legal ideals. She's even taken to Twitter to blast some New York City cabbies who allegedly drive past African Americans and fail to pick them up. I'm not just a microaggression. I take it very seriously, says Eiffel, who notes that talks have begun with authorities about the issue. We can't normalize any type of racism or systematic discrimination. Fatima Goss Graves. She is the president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, also known as NWLC. Her issues are gender discrimination and sexual harassment. Decades before Fatima Goss Graves became the first lawyer in her family, the Klan was impacted by the legal system. Goss versus Board of Education was one of the critical school desegregation suits that followed Brown versus Board of Education. And my father and his siblings were the named plaintiffs, says the Washington, D.C. resident. The lesson I learned was that even one family can make a big difference. The law is a powerful tool. Armed with a degree from Yale University, the 42-year-old attorney has spent her career tackling issues central to women's lives. Now, as the first African-American to lead the National Women's Law Center, Graves, along with her colleagues, is taking on everything from discrimination to harassment to sexual harassment, or sexual assault, rather. The NWLC, whose four decades of advocacy includes a national campaign around equal pay legislation that helped bring about the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, launched the Let Her Learn initiative in 2017 to address disproportionate suspensions and expulsion of black girls at school. Quote, it's a disgrace that so many girls of color are harshly punished at school for minor infractions. The future of girls is on the line. Now is the time to take action and address their needs, says Graves. To date, the campaign's PSA has gone viral with millions of views. Another endeavor the center established is the Legal Network of Gender Equity. Built as the first national legal network to battle sex discrimination, more than 500 attorneys nationwide have signed on to provide free consultations and, in some cases, pro bono or reduced fee representation to women and girls experiencing sex discrimination. Quote, there is so much work to be done, but I am called to this and it's invigorating, end quote, says Graves, who juggles her professional demands and marriage with two children. I feel enormously lucky to spend my days using my law degree to improve the lives and future of women and girls, especially women of color. Today, as threats continue to escalate and hurt women, that work could not be more important. Joy Chaney. She is executive director and campaign director of Equal Pay Today. Her issues are same earnings for women. So growing up in Florida with a physician mother and a lawyer father, Joy Chaney inherited both the mantle of privilege and the spirit of service. Quote, I was raised in the civil rights tradition and I'm a big believer in equality. End quote, says Chaney, age 39, a graduate of Harvard Law School. I view the role of lawyers as social engineers working toward a more just society for all. The former Obama appointee and congressional staffer incorporates those values while leading Equal Pay Today, which is based in Washington, D.C. The campaign is a project of the Tides Center, a non-profit social incubator. This coalition of women's and workers' rights groups organizes at the local, state, and national around the longstanding issue of wage inequality. Statistics show that women earn on average about 80 cents for every dollar a white man is paid. For black women, it's around 63 cents. For Cheney, this is unacceptable. I care unapologetically about the right treatment and advancement of women whose voices have been historically suppressed and ignored, she says. While she doesn't personally litigate cases, her legal expertise is used to help craft public policy, strategize, and advocate. A typical day for the one woman operation might involve testifying on Capitol Hill or promoting campaigns such as Black Women's Equal Pay Day, held annually in July. The organization is among those pushing for federal wage collection data, a rule implemented by Obama officials in 2016, which the Trump administration halted in 2017. Fighting to close the wage gap enrages me, inspires me, focuses me, says Cheney. This is my dream job. Pamela Herndon. She is the executive director of Southwest Women's Law Center. Her issues include women's poverty and health care access. Pamela Herndon was still a schoolgirl in Corpus Christi, Texas, when a television news report piqued her interest in the law. It was about families in Louisiana who'd been living in and paying for dilapidated housing for years, but never owned them. I remember thinking, I will help them. I will come to their rescue. That philosophy underscores her role as executive director of the Southwest Women's Law School in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was founded in 2005, and its mission includes lifting women and their families out of poverty, ensuring access to affordable or quality affordable health care, and securing equality for women and girls. Quote, we get lots of calls from women and some men, says Herndon, whose staff of two attorneys frequently collaborate with advocates, social service agencies, and legal partners such as the ACLU. There are multiple obstacles to self-sufficiency that many women confront based on gender, class, race, disability, age, and or immigration status. Herndon earned her JD from the University of Texas School of Law. The 65-year-old married mother of three boasts multiple professional accolades that include being named Public Lawyer of the Year by the State Bar, living in one of the country's poorest states where African Americans only comprise about 3% of the population. She brings a unique perspective. Too often when seeking help for black women, we get the excuse that there's not enough significant data to justify funding, says Herndon. Being at the table, I have the opportunity to show the disparities that exist in basic programs and services for groups of women who are seen as significantly insignificant. Kristen Clark. She is the president and executive director of Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. The issue is civil rights. When Kristen Clark enters the courtroom, she brings with her the spirit of the ancestors. African American women have always played a central role in the black freedom struggle, says Clark, age 43. A Brooklyn native with Jamaican roots. They are the moral compass and a source of great inspiration to me. The Columbia Law School graduate brings that spirit to her role as president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, a national civil rights organization. The Lawyers Committee seeks to promote fair housing, economic justice, voting rights, equal education opportunity, criminal justice, judicial diversity, and more. Quote, right now we are fighting voter suppression all across the country in places like Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. Clark says we are working to end mass incarceration, and we filed a lot of litigation against the Trump administration. This includes such cases as President Donald Trump's travel ban in Muslim-majority countries. The Supreme Court ruled in December 2017 that the ban could go into effect pending upcoming hearings. Clark, who is raising a teenage son, has dedicated her career to combating discrimination faced by African Americans and others in marginalized communities. She has worked at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, was a federal prosecutor for the U.S. Department of Justice in its Civil Rights Division, and headed the Civil Rights Bureau for the New York State Attorney General's Office. Quote, the courts are one place where we can present evidence and make case about why a law or policy is unconstitutional or violates civil rights law. That said, I know that many of these fights are not started in the courtroom, she says. They start at the grassroots level and often in the streets by those who march and protest to bring attention to injustice. I see my work as very aligned with the Black protest movement. The courts are one important part of a multi-pronged strategy of fighting injustice. Then we have Judith Brown Dennis. She is the executive director of Advancement Project. Her issues include educational inequalities and racial justice. In her early 20s, Judith Brown Dennis experienced what she describes as racial discrimination on the job. But the cloud had a silver lining. Quote, I decided to become a lawyer to right those kinds of wrongs, she says, end quote. Today, the Columbia Law School alumni helms the Advancement Project in the nation's capital. The next generation multiracial civil rights organization specializes in racial justice reform for the communities of color. Dennis came aboard at the organization's inception in 1999 after honing her skills at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. The Queens, New York native is a nationally recognized leader in the efforts to end the school-to-prison pipeline, attacking harsh disciplinary measures that criminalize children of color. Quote, we worked closely with grassroots groups to significantly decrease student suspensions and arrests in cities like Denver, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Miami, she says. End quote. Dennis has written reports on the issue. One is Opportunities Suspended, but her commitment to racial inequality in public schools extends to a board role with the National Center for Fair and Open Testing, which challenges the misuse of standardized testing. Meanwhile, her 36-member team at Advancement Project has joined forces with the Journey for Justice Alliance, a coalition in 24 cities that is challenging the growing trend of public school closures and privatization in communities of color. Their work has included filing civil rights complaints in Chicago, New Orleans, and Newark, New Jersey. Quote, racial justice work is my purpose, says Dennis, age 51, who's married with a teen daughter. I was put on this earth to undo the wrongs of the past on behalf of Black people and other people of color. It is my passion. I am blessed to do this work, end quote. So moving on to a subject a little bit more lighter than that. We have Love and Life section, Breakthrough, Grab Your Good Life. At 51, global coach Lisa Nichols is in her prime. Here, she shares her strategy for joy. Over the course of nearly two decades, Lisa Nichols has guided more than 670,000 students in their life and career choices through her training programs and workshops, generated more than $42 million with her publicly traded company, motivating the masses, and reached 78 million people worldwide with her content. She has taught classes and given lectures in many countries, including Kazakhstan, Ireland, Hungary, Spain, South Africa, Australia, and Greece. And she is a best-selling author and co-author of several books, including No Matter What, Chicken Soup for the African American Woman's Soul, and her latest, Abundance Now. But all of this was just a lead up to these past 2 years of Nichols being her most peaceful, successful, and sexiest self at the on the other side of 50. Here's her formula for every Black woman to get her very best, no matter what age. Number one, break the suffering cycle. When we look at our heritage, our plight, we can see the strength it took for us to make it through. But I think we've adopted the mindset that suffering is necessary. Early in my career as a keynote speaker, I would stay in the executive suite at resorts. I would often look out my window at the people on the beach, but I couldn't muster up the courage to put on my bathing suit and go outside. I thought I was cheating, that I was violating something if I did that. That's a martyr mentality. We don't get extra points in heaven for depriving ourselves. We are free to be free. Number two, give yourself permission to be big. Our culture is built on family, faith, and community. The challenge is handling our success. When we start doing better than the village, we might unconsciously begin to question our commitment to our people. Almost a decade ago, I had made $970,000 by October and then took the rest of the year off. I thought it was because I was tired. It was actually because I was afraid to make $1 million in 1 year. I think, what kind of Black woman would I be? Am I selling out? That was huge for me. All this time when I was pursuing financial prosperity, I never thought I would be scared of it. I wasn't afraid of the money. I was afraid of the cultural implication. I begin to think about the Black women who came before me. Harriet Tubman, Shirley Chisholm, Ida B. Wells, and more. They demonstrated resilience and beat the odds. I realized that I'm supposed to show another example. Every time I make it just about me, I shrink. But when I make it about being a model and a vessel, I rise above where I would normally stop. Number three, grade yourself. Your life is like a body. You can't take care of just your chest and your arms. You also need to tend to your lungs and legs. I've stopped counting individual successes. For example, if you get an A in math but a D in English, you don't have an A average. I begin to grade all the areas of my life and call myself out. The first step was to take a sobering look at the average of my journey and to own it. I've taken responsibility for all my rationalizations. The more brilliant you are, the more danger you can put yourself in by making excuses. Number four, keep moving with fear. I don't know anyone playing big in the world who is fearless. We may not talk about it, but I would be a liar if I told you I didn't have fears. I have just learned how to embrace them and push forward, saying, this one is for my sister friends. This one is for my ancestors. This one is for my child. This one is for me. This is for the me who's being born still, my 2020 self. This is her. Number five, walk through your pain. When I lost about 90 pounds 3 years ago, I was like a timid cat that hadn't seen light in a while. Before then, you couldn't talk about weight and body with me. It was too sore of a topic. I decided to walk toward the pain to get to the possibility on the other side. I asked God, what do I need to do to fulfill my purpose? The only answer I got in my prayer time was, get your body right. Your body is the instrument. Get your body right. Your body is the instrument through which you live your purpose. It's not an optional piece of the puzzle. Working on myself has been the most personal, painful, beautiful, sobering, vulnerable experience I've ever endured. Snatching back my sexy has been one of my biggest breakthrough acts of self-love in the past 15 years. Embracing sexy from a space of birthright was new. Number 6, celebrate your sensual self. For my 51st birthday, I was in my bathing suit on the beach. I was with my niece and we had an impromptu photo shoot in front of all these people who were laying out. I took my cover off and posed, laughed and jumped. It had been 25 years since I allowed myself to be seen from the neck down. I realized that this is an abundance to feel good in my skin. Doing this is so much a part of abundance as balancing my bank account. My sensuality was released. She's the person I had to heal the most because I'd never known sexual and emotional maturity inside of a sexually attractive body. The last time I was in a sexual attractive body, I wasn't sexually mature. I had to introduce myself to her. I had to remind myself that 50-year-old me was going to lead in this season. I brought lace 90s. Knee-high leather boots and torn jeans with me. I don't lose the sexy when I'm over 45. I simply redefined it. Number 7, let go of the shame. To create space for all of the above, I methodically went into each dark corner of my life and confronted any angst. There was so much energy tied up in my shame. I kept asking, what else are you ashamed of? What else do you regret? Every time I did, an answer showed up. I would sit with it and I'd have compassion for my past decision or my action and release the shame. I did it around my weight. I did it around all the hundreds and thousands of dollars that have gone through my fingers. I did it around the relationships I had ended. I carefronted the shame around my sleep apnea, my health issues, the medical surgeries I needed. I carefronted the shame around the friendships I didn't nurture. I didn't water them away. They deserved to be, and they died on the vine. I've carried that for years. For the first time in my life, I don't feel regret, not for my son's father going to prison or for being unmarried and pregnant and for having to wait in the welfare line. I have things I wish I wouldn't have done, but I have finally been able to utilize everything as my fertilizer. So I'm not embarrassed about it. I made the best choice on what I knew in the moment. It all happens to teach us. So it looks like we run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. I hope that you have enjoyed it. And I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Be sure to listen next time. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.